Hello, everybody. Welcome back to episode number 86 of the WP Cafe Show with Keith Devon and myself, Mark Wilkinson. This is the show where we chat all things WordPress, WordPress agencies, building stuff in WordPress, plugins, developments, you name it. We just have a good chat about WordPress every Friday afternoon at 1:30. And it's great if you could join us. So if you are with us, thank you very much for joining us. Do let us know in the chat who you are, where you're from. It's always nice to see who is watching or listening along. And if you're listening on the podcast, thank you. This goes out just after the live show. So today we've got quite a few things to chat through. One sort of big topic that was trending in Keith's Twitter, which is his words, not mine, not something that happens very often. And that was good. So we'll talk about some of that stuff happening. Some updates from last week of the things we were talking about. So if you were with us then, you'll probably have a clue to what those are and various other bits and bobs that we can chat through. Apologies this week. I haven't managed to get a what I have been reading and watching list together. So I know some people like that feature, but I have been, I've just been too busy. So I haven't managed to get that through. Unless Keith has thrown some in at the last minute.
I haven't.
Yeah, you won't have that one. Never mind. Anyway, before we start, as always, if you haven't already subscribed to the channel, please do so. If you are enjoying the show later on, do give us a like. It really does help out, and it just makes us feel all nice, so that'd be good. How's your week been, Keith? How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, good. It's been good. It's been quite kind of chilled, hasn't it, recently? There's no mega stresses and deadlines, and there's been ticking over. I guess the most notable thing this week is actually putting together a proposal for an actual website project, which is something that we kind of haven't done for a while.
What are they?
Which leads to our first topic in a moment. Yeah. But yeah, so that's been good. What else has been going on? Not a lot. I'm off to Mallorca tomorrow. So
very nice. Not jealous at all.
Doing a bit of cycling. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. It's not that warm though. The weather's not.
Do not.
No.
It's usually like 19, 20, 21, isn't it, in Mallorca at this time?
I think it starts off at about 20, 21, first couple of days, and then goes down from there. So,
well, as long as it'll
be
wet,
all right. It'll still be shorts and short sleeves on the bike. So that's all exactly. I'm asking for, really. Some nice.
You don't normally do Mallorca cycling, do you? It's usually, is it?
I've never been.
No, you do. What was it? Where did you go for cycling? Oh, Lanzarote, is it?
Yeah. That was like a kind of different group, different gang. Oh, so this is the first time our cycling club has gone away together. So there's 10 of us.
Ah, 10
of
nice.
Us going. Yeah.
Exciting. Yeah. Brill. So, yeah. Right.
How about you? What's a quick update from yourself?
I don't know. It's been a stressful week this week. I don't know why. Some stuff outside of work that's been taking up a lot of my time. The shed roof blew off.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Monday, I think it was. When we had that wind, was it Monday? Not the wooden roof, but like the felt stuff that sits on top of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just bare and exposed. So it's like, it's just something to add to my plate that I've got to fix.
Yeah.
And I don't do DIY very well. So, yeah.
That is easy, though. That is easy. You can handle that. Basically, you buy the felt stuff, you buy the tack, you get a hammer. Job done.
I'll still mess it up, trust me. Anyway, that was my week. And now I've just been pottering on with bits and bobs. Some stuff we'll probably talk about with the next few topics. So on to our first topic, which we have titled Design-Led or Development-Led Projects. And this is kind of off the back of our project proposal that we're having to sort of think about writing. And this new website client, and kind of off the back of WordPress changing over the last 3 or 4 years, we've got the block editor, we've got full site editing. We never used to have those. So go on, Keith, let us know what you obviously put this out on Twitter. Mm. What did you say? What was the topic? What was the sort of feel?
Yeah, so you're right. So the background is putting together a proposal for this new project, and we don't have a budget for it, but we do have a time budget for it. So I think we've got, if we win this, we've got about 6 weeks to deliver. And because of that, I was thinking, well, how are we going to structure the project and how are we going to structure the proposal? And I was thinking, well, we can have this design phase, but we have to we can't just design anything because we don't have enough time to build anything.
Yep.
So what are we gonna design? Like, how are we gonna design it in a way that we know we can build it? And so that got me thinking, well, we have to design it with the tools in mind. We have to design it with the block editor strongly in mind, so that whatever we come up with in the design, we know we can implement fairly quickly in the block editor. So that's where this came about. So then I was thinking, well, what do other people do? Do they just like freely design things and then figure out how to develop it later? Or are people taking the approach that I was going to suggest, which is kind of like a development-led design process rather than a design-led development process? So the question I put out was, WordPress people, how strongly do you let the capabilities of the CMS influence your designs? Do you design freely and then figure out how to make it work in WordPress, or do you base the designs on the editing tools available? And I've had 28 replies or something. So yeah, a lot of, for me, that's a lot.
But surely all that is tied to the fact that, and I don't know how people quote here, but if you quote for a website project, often that would include design and development.
Yeah.
You've kind of already priced the design that you're going to do. So,
and the development.
So you can't design anything at this point, surely.
Exactly.
You've already probably in your mind, you may or may not have told the client this, but you've already thought, well, I'm going to do a week of design and get the designs done in a week. So therefore, you can't just design anything. So yeah, that's a constraint straight away. Forget the development. You can only design something based on the sort of time constraints that you've got in place, or other constraints, budget constraints maybe from the project.
Exactly.
And you've kind of already made that decision, but you start the design, surely.
Well, that's why that process, just this kind of design freely idea, it just feels so fatally, it feels so flawed to me. Like, I like the thought of doing a design that's unencumbered by the tools, a design that's going to work well for the client, like that's going to deliver all their needs, like from a UX perspective or whatever. And you could do that as a process. You could just say, yeah, we're going to do a 3-week design process and we're going to design something that's just going to be like exactly what you want. But surely you can't have already put a price against the development of that.
No, you can't.
I just...
Yeah, because there's no point in a client saying, oh, I want to spend, you know, I want to have no restrictions. I want the designer to be able to just design the perfect design for what we wanted to deliver in terms of, you know, functionality, user interface, etc. And then they spend however long, 3-4 weeks designing this thing.
Yeah.
And then it comes to the development team. So here you go. Here's our designs. Let's go and build this. And then, I don't know, the client had it in their head that they want to spend 15 grand on development. Mm. And then all the agencies that they go to say, yeah, that's going to cost 100 grand to develop that.
Exactly. Well,
so that can't happen. You know, there's got to be some constraints all the time.
I had an experience of this kind of thing outside of the web recently, because we did a fairly major house renovation. And we got architects in and we told them the budget. And I can't remember what, it's laughable, like looking back on it now. But I think our budget was a not small, say £170,000 or something like that, right? For this project. And the architects went off and did their thing and were like, oh yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we really like this. We like the direction of this. And then I started getting a bit twitchy. I was like, but how much is this gonna cost? And we went to a quantity surveyor, which cost us a bit extra, but I think it's just worth sense checking this at this point before we go any further. And they came back and said, oh, this is a £400,000 build.
Wow.
And we're just like, the architects knew the budget, but they just went off and just designed something that they liked the look of. And we're like, and then we're left kind of scrambling to finish the project, take out this, take out that. And we're left with something that kind of no one's really happy with. Whereas if the architect had actually done their job and thought, okay, we've got a limited budget here, how can we get the most bang for our buck out of that? The analogy here is like, we had a house, we weren't building something from scratch. So there's a house in place. So pretend that's WordPress. Yep. You know, there's something that you have to work with. The architects didn't, they did it to an extent, but like, yeah, it just, so I've been on the bad side of that kind of process. And I just think that like designing freely is just, unless it's a completely separate project where you're not, you haven't already quoted for the development. But even then it's irresponsible because the client still has a budget. You can't just design anything. You can't do that. Like, I don't know.
So I guess we've got a couple of comments, but like, what do you guys do? Like, let us know, how do you handle this? It was interesting seeing some of the comments in the tweets was that people were sort of saying, well, I just design, you know, regardless of. And then once you mentioned budget, they were like, oh, no, but then I only ever do it to the budget. So that clearly like never happens because there's always a budget in place. Whether you're at the stage where you know what that is for development or whether you're not, it's still always there. Sam says, if the client doesn't have a budget, can't you treat it like scoping? The design is a separate piece of work. The development costs are dependent on the design. Exactly. Mm-hmm. The development costs are dependent on the design. So the design, surely, therefore, can never be a truly separate piece of work because it's got to be tied to the development process.
Yeah.
So how does the designer know when what they're designing is doable in a development budget? Don't know.
Yeah.
It's easier when you're doing it, obviously, the same team, but not when it's a different team. Elliot says, design and development is intrinsically linked. You develop and design, a development is designed for logical purpose. Yeah, I kind of agree. They're both the same. They're both highly linked together. You can't decide on one without deciding on the other, can you?
No. Yeah, they influence each other massively, I think. Yes. And it's really how do you create a proposal then for that? Like, we've got a set budget. And whatever we design, we have to be able to develop. And we're going to develop it on this platform, which means we have these kind of limitations. And yeah, so for me, I don't know. There's somewhere in the middle there, but the middle ground is kind of hard to articulate in a proposal.
Well, like, that was, I think that's my the next real
challenge.
Point.
Yeah.
Even if we could get our heads around this process, how on earth do you articulate that to a customer who doesn't really understand the constraints you're working to, you know, by using WordPress or by using Elementor or whatever you're using? You know,
My suggestion, and we've kind of done this before on projects, I said this to you earlier, it's like, why don't we list out all the default blocks that we will style?
Yep.
And then say that they can have like four completely custom blocks as part of this project. And you were like, they don't know what any of these things mean.
No, like, they don't. They don't know what block is. So yeah, what's the point in saying that?
They don't, you know? They don't know what the capabilities of a group block are, or the columns block, or the whatever block. And they certainly don't know what a custom block is capable or not capable of. So
yeah, I feel like we need a way to articulate to the customers, like, you will get default WordPress styled, branded to your specific needs.
Yeah.
And then we will build X, Y, and Z that we know about, you know, integration with this, campaign monitor, hook up with whatever it might be, you know, those sort of things. And then you can outline those custom things. But the problem is they don't know what the capability of WordPress is out of the box. They don't know that sort of thing, you know, so it's really difficult to explain that off the top. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure. We've actually got 34 people watching. That's the highest number we've ever had. So thank you if you're
watching. Hello, everyone.
I hope you're enjoying the chat.
Yeah, please do say hello as well.
Yeah, definitely. A couple more comments in the chat. This is from Alan. I design and develop. I only ever give a ballpark figure. I try to keep to that, but I'm happily pushed the budget. We have taken similar approach in the past, but we have found that clients do not want a flexible budget. They just don't want you to say, you know, it's a 10 grand proposal, but it might be 15. They just don't want it. They want a fixed price. That's what we've seen. But if you obviously having success with that, then great. And then Sam again. Thank you, Sam. That's how we quote work price based on blocks. It used to be a price per page, but that's now it's a price per block.
Yeah, but how do you price a custom block that you haven't even designed yet?
Yeah.
That's what I mean, you know. Because until we get into the scope, the full scoping, which you could argue could be it, should be its own project at the start before any of this, and then do the design work. We've done it before. We've sold scoping projects before.
We have, but it's a hard sell. It's a hard sell.
Yeah. So I don't know what we're gonna do. Like, part of me, one of my suggestions was like, we'll absolutely promise like a certain base level. Like, we will take WordPress, we will build you a custom theme that means like you have a branded experience of WordPress with like the core kind of page template, like header and footer and stuff like that. That's kind of done, and then you have the default blocks to work with, and then from that point on, we can extend it to like meet specific needs for specific pages. But that work is kind of like more ad hoc, or we'll have 3 weeks for all of that extra stuff, and we'll fit in as much as we can, or something like that. But then,
that makes complete sense to me. The problem with what you just said is they don't know what core WordPress is and does and is and provides. No. That's the problem with it. Other than that, it sounds perfect.
Yeah,
but that's what we need to do. So, what we've done in this instance, rightly or wrongly, is we're going to send the client a relatively brief email, I think, outlining the fact that for this particular project, the time constraint is the important thing. So really what we've suggested is, because of the time constraint, that leads you to a budget of X, because you know, we're going to be able to work for the time constrained project, basically. I think it's 6 weeks, isn't it, you said? So that's going to lead you to a budget of X. Now, for that budget, this is what we can do for you. And we've outlined basically, very briefly, sort of like, you know, weeks 1 to 6, what will be happening in those weeks. And then and the idea behind that is to see what the client's reaction to the budget is. So if they come back and say, whoa, I only wanted to spend half that, you know, this is just a no-go area, then fine. At least we've done that before we then get into that bigger proposal document or call or whatever the next stage is, whether it's a scoping session. The idea is to try and get the client to understand, if they've got that budget, then great. And they still want to work with us because, you know, we had a call with them, it seemed to go very well. Then we can take it further from then. So that's the plan we've gone with. Fingers crossed it'll come off.
Yeah. We'll see. And I think we've got to do this on the basis that we'll probably have one more call with them. I reckon we might get one more hour-long call where we have to like go through the specification line by line and be like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And then we can structure exactly, we can, like you say, give them a proper proposal rather than a kind of pre-proposal.
Yeah, because they need to know what getting for X, the
exactly
max. Need to know what we're going to actually deliver for them.
Yeah, because we want to do that. We want to give them that certainty.
Yeah, definitely.
We can't tell them exactly what they're going to get because it hasn't been designed yet. But we need to give them a certain amount of certainty that whatever we deliver will meet these needs that they have.
Yes, and we need to get across our philosophy of building websites, because I think. And I do still think this for most customers. In their head, they think that we're delivering them a homepage template, an about template, a contact template, a news archive template, and so on. And actually, we might do that, obviously. We might put that together as a design and say, this is what it's going to look like. But that's not actually what we're building the customer. We're building them the ability to build any page with any combination of content blocks. Mm-hmm. So there's no constraints on, you can only use these templates like we perhaps had 5 years ago, maybe less than that even, in design. You know, you get these templates to choose from, and then that's what you'd have. Yeah. We need to get that philosophy across to them so they understand that they will have full control over all of this website, which is one of the things that they have suggested is a massive problem in the document briefing, which they sent to us with, like, what they want to do and so forth. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's in the call, maybe that's a little demo. I don't know, is anyone listening, watching, demoed like the block editor to a potential customer. Mm. I've said this for a while. It'd be really good to have like a video that we could send to customers, or, you know, this is how it is. But you kind of want that to be sort of more customized to them, really, rather than just generic, you know, like 2024 theme. I don't know if that would perhaps give them the full understanding of what would happen, but Not sure, but anyway. We'll see.
We'll let you know how it goes.
We will. We'll let you know how it goes. Moving on. The next topic we have is debug logging. Now, for listeners last week, you may remember that I was having some issues with rewrite rules in a particular site that was stopping a custom post type's single posts from loading at times to get 404 in. And we narrowed it down to the fact that at the time where this breaks, there was not a rewrite rule in place for that particular post type. So what I wanted to do was to find out when the rewrite rules change, and more importantly, what was actually changing them. And did a lot of discussion last time. Some people had some comments on the day of the call. Some people had some comments afterwards on the YouTube video. And one particular commenter, I can't remember the chap's name. If Keith, you can find his name, we'll give him some credits. That'd be really good.
I can try.
Last week's comment, came up with a suggestion of using a new function. It was, in fact, what was it called? WP debug summary, I think it was called. I'll have to put it in the notes afterwards. And essentially, it prints. It will print it out a call stack of all of the sort of functions that have run at the time. So what I did was I hooked into the pre-update option filter in WordPress so that it would run just before the rewrite rule option was updated. It would dump out a call stack of what was running on that filter, so what functions were running. I also got it to jump out like the old rewrite rule values and the new rewrite rule values so that I could kind of compare the two and I could see what was actually running in the stack. Now, I haven't actually pushed this to the live site yet. I've just been testing it on my local site, but it seems to work quite well and it gives you a good indication of what's happening. So fingers crossed, we can push that to the live site. Thank you very much, Elliot. WP debug backtrace summary. That's the one. It seems to work really well. I got it to just save it to a log text file in the WP content folder just to dump out those, so it working up well. So I'll report back again if that works on the live site, but fingers crossed, I've got sort of a process to give it a go and hopefully can find the culprit of what is causing our rewrite rules to be.
And to give the credit where it's due, Nathan Dawson was the chap's name. So thank you, Nathan. I don't know if you've joined us again today, but thanks for your...
he suggested that function WP debug backtrace summary, which is really good. It does only work, obviously, if you have WP debug set to true. So I will have to do some work on that on the live site as well, just to turn that on perhaps for a time so we can see what's happening.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But yeah, really good. Just still to this day, I see and learn new functions in WordPress and you're like, wow, you know, how long's that been in core? And you know, I could have used that so often.
Yeah,
which is nice to see. So
cool. Yeah.
Right.
Advertising update.
Advertising update. Over to you, Keith.
So I pulled the ads. I think, did I say last week that I'd kind of stopped the campaign? I think I might have done.
I think so. Yes.
I definitely spoke about the fact that we'd really had no positive results at all. So I pulled the campaign and I spoke to, I don't know what to call him, the consultant, the PPC consultant that I've been doing a bit of work with. Spoke to him yesterday and he was, he was really unflustered by the lack of kind of progress. He was just like, okay, show me the numbers. And I showed him the numbers. Like, we went through. He's like, all right. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, okay. And then he basically said, can you show me the keywords? So we went into the kind of keyword list. Interestingly, in Google Ads, it doesn't show you all the keywords that the ads have been found against. So it gives you a list and then it says, and then there's a row in the table called filtered keywords. And it doesn't tell you why they've been filtered, but it doesn't show you them, which I thought was a bit.
What do you mean by filtered?
Good question. So basically say I've had 1,000 clicks on ads, right?
Yeah.
And I say, show me the kind of keyword table that where all these kind of clicks have come from. What keywords were used in the search?
What keywords someone entered for then my app to show?
Whether it's an exact match or a broad match, or whatever, it shows you all that stuff. but it only showed me, I can't remember exactly what the number was, but it only shows me a percentage of those. And the rest of it is just hidden in this filtered keywords line. I'm like, interesting.
Sneaky.
Yeah. I wonder. Why? I just, yeah, exactly. Why? I might look into that. But anyway, we looked at some of the keywords and some of them were really expensive. So there's some that was like £16 per click.
Wow.
And there was a handful, I mean, maybe 10 or 12 that were over £10 a click. So we were just like, right, let's just turn those off.
Yeah.
The main culprits. And that'll...
What were they out of interest? Like, well, an example one.
Like WP Job Manager.
That was a really expensive term, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what would you do? Just make it generic and say WordPress job board plugin.
Yeah,
because
there were some like WP job board plugin.
Right. And that was cheap.
They're much cheaper.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So the kind of branded stuff is very expensive. Seemingly, even if they're not, can't remember if WP Job Manager are advertising. They might be.
Out of interest then. If WP Job Manager is an expensive term, so someone types WP Job Manager into the search box, and obviously because you're targeting that term for your ad, it may or may not pick up your advert at that time. What happens if there's a slight variant of that? Does it still show your ad? So if they type in like WP Job Manager plugin or WordPress WP Job Manager plugin, does it pick them up?
Yeah, because that'll be a broad match. You can turn that off. You can do exact match only.
Right. So if the person typed in like WP job board plugin, would that still match, or if our term that we wanted to target was WP job board plugin, would WP job manager plugin match it again? I don't know.
Yeah, and would
because it's an expensive term. I would have thought no.
Well, I've turned off the exact match. Right, I think it would. Okay. But I've turned off that. So like, but that's an interesting point. I see what you're saying.
So I'm saying if people are searching for the WP Job Manager plugin,
yeah, but
we kind of want our term to still come up with that, but we don't want to pay for the WP.
I don't think we do. I think that's the point. I don't think we do want ours to come up when people are searching for that anymore, because it looks like
it's not the right traffic.
Yes, because they're searching for that. They're not searching for alternatives to it. They're searching for it.
Right, makes sense.
And the guy was like, you're probably not...
Well, that makes even more sense if it's costing us 16 quid a click and it's not the right traffic. Yeah,
exactly. And he said it's probably developers that are typing that in, not recruitment agencies.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was like, that's a really good point. You know, branded terms, unless you've got something very compelling and you're a direct competitor, and it's like, then I think it's going to be hard and it's going to be expensive. Whereas if you can capture some of that generic traffic, it's just people looking for a solution to this problem, then hopefully we can do a bit better. But essentially, what this means going forward is probably that the ads aren't going to be like ridiculously successful in terms of we're going to have like hundreds of people per week signing the form, but they might be cost effective over time, as in it might cost us £200 to acquire a customer, which is fine.
Yeah,
but we might only acquire one a month.
Yeah,
so that
that's fine as long as it's cost effective.
Yeah, so we've got to find the keywords that are really cost effective, even if they're very low traffic, basically.
Yeah,
so that's where we're at.
So essentially, it's what I thought at the start of this process, is that it's just a big experiment, which will cost you money. Essentially, You know, there's no answers to this. You can't buy answers to this. Buying the answers is just doing the thing to work out what happens.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, service that says, here's my product, this is the audience, you tell me the right words to use and it'll be right. You know, you have to just do the experiment.
Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah. Which we're doing. So hopefully
we'll see.
We'll report back next week and we'll have more.
You know what? I'm not confident. But we did say we'd give it a go.
Yeah,
and Pep is still fairly he's not confident. He's just going through the process. Do you know what I mean? He's like, I don't know if this is going to work or not, but we're going through the process to find out. Yeah. Like, And that's the mindset shift. Like, for us, like, we're spending money. It's like, we want results.
Yeah, definitely. That's my problem.
But we're spending money on an experiment, essentially. We're not spending money. Well, if the experiment works, we'll spend money on the result. But right now, we're doing an experiment. And that's what we're spending money on. And that it's a bit painful. Like,
we've talked about marketing before, haven't we? And this is, it's kind of linked with it, but no one ever mentions the fact that this is going to be an experiment. And I think that's not just for Google Ads, which is a bit different to marketing in general. I could get that, but it's all an experiment, I think. And no one ever markets it that, you know, this is an experiment. We'll guide you through the experiment because we know how the experiment works almost. Yeah. Yeah. But it is an experiment, and you'll need an amount of money for the experiment. And then once we've done the experiment, we'll get an idea of what works and what doesn't work to guide the marketing more in the future. They never phrase it like that, which I think that's what I've learned that it is eventually.
Yeah.
But you've got to have a budget that you might end up throwing in a bin because the experiment's failed, but at least you'd know that what you did didn't work, so something else might work. That makes sense.
Yeah. I think by the end of this, We'll know if I think search ads are the way to go for this or not. And that, you know, that might not feel like a massive win when you've spent thousands of pounds, but you know, it means we can kind of put that to bed and move on to something else and, you know, try something else. So
it means all our listeners would know, and we've spent that money for all you guys, and you don't have to.
Well, yeah, I say that, but not necessarily, because their products are different and their markets are different. So
I know.
You have to do the experiment yourself, don't you?
But, yeah. That's true. Good. So that's advertising. We can report back again if there's any upturn in leads, sales. Who knows? You never know. There's hope there yet. We'll see.
Yeah.
Cookie consent is on our list. I'm not entirely sure why, but it is. I know you've been into cookie consent this last week. I think, is it to do with the ads and stuff?
It is. Basically, I'd signed up to CookieBot after having a really bad experience with my previous cookie consent solution.
Yeah.
And I thought it was free. I thought it was a free trial. The way they sold it is that there's a free trial, and during that free trial, you have access to all the pro features.
Okay.
What I didn't realize is that at the end of the free trial, there is no free version. I should have known that. You know, I should have been able to work that out. But basically what happened was, at the end of the free trial, the thing stops working and our website broke, which I didn't realize until the other day. So I was like, that left a bit of a bad taste in my mouth. Whether it was my fault or not, probably a large part of it was my fault. Left a bad taste in the mouth. So I went straight to Twitter. I was like, I need a new cookie solution. What should I use? What's everyone using out there? And I kind of want something free. Like, I feel like this is such a core part of websites that almost this should be part of core.
It's such a pain is what it is.
Some kind of consent solution in WordPress core. But everything seems to be a subscription service that's like somewhere between $10 and $20 per month per website.
These companies, Keith, that have subscription services for products that are per website, they're just terrible.
They're just gouging, aren't they? Gouging their customers. No, I mean, I don't know why. I just didn't want that, you know. And they don't seem to have like a developer license, you know. If it was like a developer license, and maybe they do. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I tweeted it out. Loads of responses. I was like, whoa, right, okay. So there's a lot of options. A lot of them look kind of similar. A lot of them do this scanning, this kind of front-end scan of your site to obviously look at what all the tracking scripts and cookies and pixels are there. And then they do some kind of job to kind of segment those into the necessary...
into different buckets.
The different buckets that you can
turn on or off as a user.
Yeah, so that seems to be the kind of modern way to do this. There are some kind of open source ones, free ones, self-hosted kind of things on like GitHub, which I'm going to look into. But the one that kind of really caught my eye, and I still don't quite understand how it works or if this is the solution, is it's called Zaraz. And it's, I think it's an Israeli startup that Cloudflare have bought.
All right.
So it's free with Cloudflare. And it's like they kind of... What it seems to be is that there's a single script on your website and it interacts with Cloudflare. And then Cloudflare sends all that tracking data to all the different places that it needs to send. So Zaraz is the thing that kind of tracks everything. Everything. Right. And then it handles all the to and from all the APIs and services on the Cloudflare side. So it's all way faster.
Yeah.
There's way less scripts loaded on your website. It's much more secure because there's, you know, less kind of security factors, stuff like that, attack factors. So yeah, I thought that looked super interesting. But what I don't know is if that handles the actual consent side of things or if it's just that's where your scripts all live. So I just need to do a little bit more looking into that. But I thought that looked like a really interesting solution.
I'm going to look into that. We'll keep trying.
I'll update everyone on the next show. Lubenda. Yeah, Jackson, thanks for the comment. He says, Lubenda, pretty cool for free privacy cookie for simple sites. I remember coming across that one a couple of years ago when we were...
I do. I remember it being... super complicated though, but
that's what I thought as well.
Probably just me.
Yeah, everything's complicated to us these days, Mark.
Yeah, I'm just getting old and
an old
what's the word?
I don't know.
Cynic, maybe the word. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, grumpy old man, I think is what you mean.
That's the one. That was the sentence I was looking for. Grumpy old man. Was it Matt Medeiros who said that's what we were? We didn't like our jobs.
Yeah, we hate the two British guys that hate their jobs.
Oh dear. Yeah. Right. Anything else?
No, I think we should call it there. It's we're at 37 minutes. We peaked at 60 concurrent viewers.
Woo-hoo.
Which is like practically triple our previous high, I think.
Yeah. So. Thank you very much for joining us.
I don't know where everyone came from today, but thanks for joining us. Really nice to have you along. I hope to see you next time.
So yeah, as always, do hit the like button. It really does help us out. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed to the channel, and come back next week. We'll be here at...
I'll be in Mallorca.
I'm just doing a quick check. Yeah, we won't be here next week unless I decide to do a solo episode, which will probably bore you to tears. So it's probably not going to be the way to do it. We'll be back on Friday, the 3rd of May. Which is our next episode, missing a week. So we'll give you some updates on what we've chatted about today and obviously anything else that crops up in the news, etc. We'll cover that as well. So yeah, thanks for joining us and we will see you then. Bye-bye.
See you soon. Bye.